Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Questions and Answers Time. These broadcasts are live every Friday at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and this program is designed to interact with you with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker for this Questions and Answers Time and say hello to Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Question and Answer this Monday night. Tonight, we're going to take anyone's question or comment that you may have. Shortly, we'll open up the room, and you can call us or contact us in the ways that were just outlined, and I'll try to respond by going to the Bible, as the Bible is the Word of God, and it is there that we have to turn in order to learn truth. And so we always want to turn there. Well, we have a short question and answer time, so we're just going to get right to it and open up the room. And let's go to the first person on the phones tonight. Welcome to our Monday night question and answer. Please go ahead with your call.
Oh, hi, Chris. Very, very good studies that you're doing. Just a very good blessing. It really lifts me up in Christ. I caught me off guard because it said Friday night question and answers, but this is Monday. Anyway, Revelation chapter 22, and it says, I wrote this down, when saved through the whole, we'll see his face. There's something about the face, and I wrote it down, and I haven't had time to look at this. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. So if that's during the New Testament period, could you elaborate on that?
No, that's not during the New Testament period.
Yep.
That's talking about the end of all things, and then God brings us into his presence forevermore. This is language indicating the eternal dwelling between God and his people.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's 22, obviously. Sorry about that. But Revelation 20, one more question, Chris. Revelation 20, let's see, verses 4, 5, and we know, here, let me get to that real quick. I'm not real good at this. I was doing something and it caught me off guard. Okay, Revelation 20, verse 4, 5, and 10, I have circled as day and night. It says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and were tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, since night is involved with this, could this, in a sense, mean any time that someone's being judged here at the final from May 21st, 2011, all the way to eternity, is that why it's saying tormented both day and night? In other words, forever they're dead. Is that kind of how you...
Well, it is talking about May 21 or beginning of Judgment Day. And let me read the verse again in Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, it says in the King James. But the word for is often translated as to, and that helps us to understand it, because day and night is a time reference. If this were speaking about eternity, then it wouldn't say day and night, because day and night has to do with the time that God has established in this world and this creation. And this world will be destroyed, and supposedly people are cast into a place called hell eternally. Well, there is no day and night in eternity. And this is talking about the sun going up and the sun going down, and that has everything to do with this world. So wherever we see the language of day and night, it lets us know that it is referring to something occurring within time. And
right.
And that that cannot be any sort of eternal judgment. And so this day and night would be the period of judgment day, which could be, there's a good possibility, 1,600 days, or even if it were longer, it would be during this time that the devil, as well as the unsaved people, are being tormented spiritually.
Very good. Thank you, Chris.
Well, thank you for bringing up this verse, and let's go to the next person on the phones. Welcome to our Monday night question and answer. Please, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Chris? I wanted to look at Psalm 72:5, but also could you, like, just speak a little on about the moon and how that has to do with the time we're in right now?
Sure. I'm going to read a little bit before that verse and lead up to it. Psalm 72, it says in verse 3, "The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations." Well, I actually haven't looked too closely at this, and the question is, who will fear thee? It says they. The previous verse, the says the poor of the people, and it mentions saving the children of the needy, but it also says, "And shall break in pieces the oppressor," without determining who they are, then I don't think we can understand verse 5, and right now I don't. So once that's determined, then I don't think that verse is a problem.
Could you speak a little bit about,
the moon?
It says, that tons of places, like in Joel, about the sun and the moon being...
Yeah, well, let's look at Joel 3. And, it says this in Matthew 24 and Mark and Luke.
What verse are you turning to in Joel?
Joel 3 and in verse 15. Well, verse 14 and 15. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of Jehovah is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And that's a very similar verse to Matthew 24:29 and Mark 13:24 and many other verses. And the sun, we know for sure, is referring spiritually to God, because Psalm 84:11 defines that the Lord God is a sun, S-U-N, and a shield. And so when the sun goes dark, that is the light of God, as Jesus is the light of the world, is darkened to this world. Now the moon, the way God has set it up the heavens, in the celestial body, is that the moon has no light of itself. The moon reflects the light of the sun. If the sun were not shining, we wouldn't see any light of the moon. And so the moon goes dark, and the moon is that which reflects the light of the sun. And when we look at the Bible and we see how God uses this, we realize the moon is a reference to the law of God, the Bible.
Yeah, well, there are some places, some verses that you can give me where I can find out more about that?
Well, let's see, in Revelation 12, in verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Now there, the woman is a representation of the body of believers, and she's clothed with the sun because the sun would be typifying God or the Lord Jesus, and he is our righteousness. He covers us. He covers over our sin. And then it goes on, and the moon under her feet. Now, this woman, again, is the body of believers, and the law of God, typified by the moon, does not condemn her. It is under her feet. And that's not true of unsaved people. The law of God is condemning them, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So we see the woman who typifies the elect is completely identified with the sun, the moon, and the stars. And that's why when we read immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun is darkened, the moon does not give its light, and the stars fall, it has everything to do with the body of believers. It impacts them greatly because we completely identify with all those things. But thank you for your question and those verses. And let's go to the next person on the phone. Welcome to our Monday night question and answer.
Can you please explain Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2?
Isaiah 40, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of Jehovah's hand double for all her sins. This is a very interesting verse. Now, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Look at verse 1. Comfort ye my people. And Jerusalem is a picture God uses to typify the elect. And so verse 2 is really continuing in the same line as verse 1. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, to my people, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Now, what was the warfare that the elect people were involved in? And that warfare is the spiritual battle that raged over the course of millennium in this world as the Lord sent forth his people carrying the gospel, and Satan and his emissaries hindered them and opposed them. That was the spiritual battle that raged throughout history that is accomplished. That is, it is finished. It is completed. And that would relate to the day of judgment coming, because then, as we read in other places, like, for instance, God says in Ephesians 6 to his people, having done all, stand therefore. And the reference is in the evil day or in the day of judgment. We have done all. Or as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. The will of God has been completed, and then we have need of patience. That doesn't that imply that we're no longer doing the will of God because it's finished? How can that be? Well, the only thing that fits that is the task of evangelizing the world as the Lord God sent forth the gospel to seek and find his lost sheep. That's the only way we could have accomplished the will of God, and that could be spoken of in the past tense, just like this warfare is accomplished. So this verse fits in with that idea. But God, remember, he's saying, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And so this is encouragement somehow. Well, let's continue reading. It goes on to say that her iniquity is pardoned. Now, again, this is looking at the whole company of the elect as a whole, as a one body. And God is saying her iniquity, the bride of Christ, is pardoned, because all that are to be saved have been saved, and God has applied his redemption to everyone that he chose before the foundation of the world. All predestinated to salvation have now heard, and God has redeemed them. And so that also fits with what happened by the time May 21 came and the latter rain was completed and the elect were gathered and all were saved. But it's the last part of the verse that we wonder about. And let me read it in Isaiah 40, verse 2, and the very end of the verse. For she, again referring to Jerusalem, hath received of Jehovah's hand double for all her sins. Now we have a puzzle, and we're curious. What is God saying here? That, you know, this reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus, before the foundation of the world, before this world was created, he took upon him the sins of his people. God poured out his wrath, and he was as the lamb slain, Revelation 13 tells us, before the foundation of the world. And other verses assure us that is true, that Christ died for sins before the world began and was resurrected, according to Romans 1, and in order to be declared the Son of God. He was resurrected from the dead. So the whole plan of God's salvation was finished from the foundation of the world. And Hebrews 4, verse 3 tells us that. And yet Christ entered into the world, and he went through a period of ministry, and then we find in the Garden of Gethsemane that Thursday evening he began to suffer the garden. He was suffering as God was pouring out his wrath upon him. And why was this if sins were already paid for? Well, the answer is that he was demonstrating or making manifest what he had done already. He was revealing to all the things that he had accomplished in reality before the world began. And God views this as a double punishment. And that's why, for instance, Moses, in a historical parable, struck the rock twice. He hit the rock once and then a second time. And the Lord Jesus was struck twice. He is the rock. Moses represents the law. The law of God struck the Lord Jesus Christ two times, once in actual payment and the second time to demonstrate what he had done. Okay, so there is a double a double outpouring of the wrath of God on Christ. But this isn't speaking of Christ. It's talking about Jerusalem and that she has received the Jehovah's hand double for all her sins. Well, you know, let's look at a similarity here. When Jesus paid for the sins of his people before the foundation of the world, what does the Bible say regarding those people? Well, it says we were in him. We were drinking of the cup that he drank of. We read in one of the gospel accounts when Jesus is speaking to the sons of Zebedee, James and John, "Shall ye drink of the cup that I drink of?" And they said, "Yes, we will drink of the cup." And Jesus said, "Yes, you will drink of the cup that I drink of." And that cup was speaking of the wrath of God. And when Christ paid for our sins before the world began, that's the only time he paid for sin, we were in him. He was bearing our sins, so in that sense we were in him, and we experienced that wrath in his person. So there is the first time that we were before the judgment seat of Christ. There was the first time that we experienced the wrath of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we, of course, never have to experience the wrath of God ever again. It's not necessary. Just like Jesus never had to experience the wrath of God for sin ever again. It wasn't necessary. However, Christ made an appearance in the world in living out the tableau of his life in order to make manifest what he had done, and that making manifest was receiving punishment a second time. Now, this relates to what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where God is speaking of believers. We can see this in the context leading up to this verse. In verse 6, it says, "We are always confident." Verse 7, "We walk by faith." Verse 9, "Wherefore we labor, and that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." The "we" is referring to the believers in all of those verses. And it leads right up to verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The word "appear" is the same, it's a translation of the same Greek word that means to be made manifest. In 2 Corinthians 4:10, it's translated that way, "always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." And the same thing in verse 11. This is the same word that is used of Christ when he made manifest the wrath of God upon him. And now what's important for us to understand, and we need to understand this, is that the word "manifest," as we read 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ," does not mean the actual payment in any way. It doesn't mean, in other words, let me put it this way. This verse cannot be speaking about the believers in Christ before the foundation of the world, because Jesus was not being made manifest at that time. He was actually going through it at that time. and the believers were not being made manifest at that time, but in him we were actually experiencing it in his person. So when we find that we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, it cannot in any way be referring to what happened in Christ before the foundation of the world. Because to make something manifest isn't the reality of it, but it is a revealing of that which has already happened. And so to say it plainly, this day of judgment that we are going through at this time is, in addition to the believers being tried and severely tested, it is God making the children of the Lord Jesus, or the children of God, manifest before his judgment throne. We are demonstrating, we are revealing that we have already stood for judgment in the person of Christ, and so we will not be burned up in this day of the wrath of God. That finally, when we come through as gold and silver, will make manifest that we have already been judged in Christ before the world began. And so the verse in Isaiah 40, that Jerusalem, let me turn back there and make sure I read it right. In Isaiah 42, for she has received the Jehovah's hand double for all her sins, is a reference to God's people going through judgment, standing before the judgment seat of Christ a second time in these days after the tribulation, but it is an encouragement to the people of God, because we are being granted greater understanding as God is revealing these things to us in this day. And also there is no real harm coming to us, because we know that this is just a manifestation of the judgment, because we have already been judged in Christ before the world began. But thank you for this verse. And we have time for a very short or quick question. Is there any other questions from Pal Talk?
Yes. Echo 2011 asks, I once heard a teacher say it's okay for someone to marry their cousin, but in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 6, God is telling us, do not approach any that is near of kin. Isn't the cousin considered near of kin?
Leviticus 18, 6, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am Jehovah. And then, well, God goes on to speak, I think, of the kin. Verse 7, mentions the father, the mother, the father's wife, the sister, and so on. So God goes on to describe who the near of kin are, so we could know. But thank you for bringing up this verse, and I would like to thank everyone for joining with us tonight. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of our time. Lord willing, we'll meet together again in another question and answer this coming Friday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, following the Bible study on Friday night. But for now, I'm going to say good night, and may the Lord's perfect will be done.
Thank you so much for joining us during this Friday evening questions and answers time. The broadcast is heard live over the Internet beginning at approximately 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You may also join our Sunday afternoon broadcast of eBible's Questions and Answers beginning at approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Until then, may the Lord grant us his wisdom, and may his perfect will be done. Have a blessed evening. Good night.